It is.
Oh, a little sore this morning. It was a madhouse up there yesterday. There's a lot of work going on. Okay, we'll call to order the emergency meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors. Will you join me with a flag salute, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, thank you, everyone, for being here. Could we have a roll call, please?
Director Corcoray.
I'm here.
Director Gatchell.
Here.
Director Womack.
Present.
Vice President Ohelski.
Present.
President Cesenia.
I'm here. So our first action item, agenda item 2A, would be a vote to allow an emergency meeting to happen. And we need, I think, a 4/5 vote. So I would entertain a motion for...
I'll move to allow the emergency meeting of the LOSC to stay at the current time.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a first and a second. We just need a voice vote on this, I believe. So, all in favor?
Do I have to take public comment on this?
Yeah. Probably need public comment on it.
Oh, okay. True. Okay, public comment on item 2A.
If you'd like to make a public comment on item 2A, which is us being able to call an emergency meeting, please raise your hand if you're online, *9 if you're on your phone, or come up to the podium.
We have one, at least one here in the room. Go ahead.
And I do have one online whenever you'd like me to do that.
Okay.
Hi, Becky McFarland, Los Osos. It was good to see some CSD members out there helping to shovel and things yesterday. I didn't show up till yesterday afternoon, but I'm just wondering why wasn't an OES incident commander or something for what's going on there. You all may know more than I do, but there's not one person in charge and people are showing up and asking what they can do. So I'm just wondering what happened there and how we could better get information out to our town. Thank you.
Thank you. And do we have one online comment?
They actually lowered their hand.
Okay. With that, we'll go on to the vote for action item 2A. All in favor of the calling of emergency meeting, say aye.
Aye.
I think we need a vote.
Okay. And now.
Just a second. Jeff, did you?
Chuck, I need to do a roll call vote because we have a director remote.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
So, Vice President Ohelski.
Yes.
Director Corcoray.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
President Cesenia.
Yes. Okay, the next action item is a vote to allow Director Womack to participate from a remote location. And so I guess we'll need public comment on that.
Yes, and just a brief explanation. There's a new state law that just went into effect January 1st that allows a remote participation to a director as long as there's a majority, in this case, 3 in the room, and it has to be for just cause, which Director Womack has submitted a notification to us requesting that.
Before we go to public comment, Chuck, I'll make the motion known.
Okay. Good. And a second?
I'll second.
I like that. Yes, Troy's turn. Okay, now so we'll go
that,
to public
that was comment. Troy, Laura.
Thank you.
We'll go to public comment for action item 2A, 2B.
If you'd like, and Ron, can you please change the PowerPoint presentation? If you'd like to make a public comment on Director Womack being able to participate remotely, please raise your hand if you're online, and if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. No public comment online.
Okay, with that, we'll go to a vote again.
Vice President Olhoski.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
President Sesenia.
Yes. Okay, action item 2C, adopt resolution 2023-03 to approve raising the general manager spending authority for emergency public works contracting. So we have a presentation.
I don't really have a presentation. I do apologize. This was a meeting that we had called last night, and I spent up the morning really on the phone and barely got the resolution out. So I apologize for not having more information. Basically, per our procurement policy, which we adopted recently, using public contracting code, we have the opportunity in an emergency to allow a designated person, in this case, we're recommending the general manager or my designee, to go out and procure services and contract for emergency services during the emergency. It became evident Tuesday morning that as we brought in resources to help with the recovery, plus deal with the basin issues that we're having, we were going to quickly exceed the dollar amount that I could are authorized to spend. And therefore, that's why we did call this meeting, so we could adopt per the government code a resolution stating that. And there are things, if you read through the resolution, there's reporting requirements that I'm required to bring back to the board so that we go back to normal bidding processes as soon as possible. But this is a stopgap measure to proceed with the work we're trying to do, especially to get done prior to the storm starting Saturday.
So it seemed to me that some of the key elements here are that we revisit this determination in 7 days, the emergency declaration.
Right. And Jeff, our counsel, Jeff Minery, and I are working on how that notification will occur, whether it's a special meeting or so we still have to work out those details.
I guess I want to make sure everybody knows that sort of thing, because really what we're doing is, from what I can see, suspending any kind of spending limit that you have. And so we're going to do what it takes.
Exactly.
To get through this situation.
Exactly. And there's full accountability. You know, we have a contractor out at the site right now, and he's actually there. His firm has been actually supplying assistance down in the neighborhood as well. The skip loader, dump truck, everything you're seeing there down there in the mud removal is being done by that contractor. He's also qualified to do repairs in the basin. Once we get to that point, we're working with a geotechnical firm, an engineering firm, to establish ways to fix the hole in the basin. And we're also working on temporary fix, like I said, to make sure water does not flow back down to Vista de Oro starting whenever the storm starts Friday night, Saturday. So that's where we're going to start exceeding my limit.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to highlight a couple of the key points there. So any other questions or comments from the board about this?
Could I hear a little more detail about what's the going on up there?
We're going to get into that during the presentation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll get that. There was a presentation.
Yeah,
okay.
we'll get into that a little bit more.
That was my question too. So we're going to get into what's happened.
Yeah, and I have some pictures that'll help explain what we're doing.
Okay, and the question I had for you yesterday was, so the drainage basins that we're talking about up in, those are our drainage basins.
Our responsibilities.
County built them, but they're our responsibility.
Right. And I'm having conversations with them about that right now.
I just want to make sure the rest of the board understood right. That.
And we would have to come back within 7 days if we need to extend it.
I don't know, Jeff, if you can weigh in on that. This is the first time we've used this.
Yeah.
And it's the language is a little confusing about 7 days, 14 days, right, unless you have a meeting, et cetera. So we're going to have to sort that out.
Okay.
On exactly how that's going to work in the notification.
So, see, that's going to work in 7 days with another storming version.
Right. Yes. Right. You know, and we'll get into a little more detail on the fix, but that is, we're trying to expedite that as quickly as possible. Yep. And that's going to be very expensive.
Okay. If there are no other board questions or comments, we will go to public comment on action item 2C, the adoption of the resolution.
If you'd like to make a public comment about the resolution and you're online, please raise your hand or star 9 if you're on your phone. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay. With that, we will move to a voice vote.
Roll call.
I need a motion first.
A motion. Well,
so I'll do a motion of adopt resolution 2023-03 to approve raising general manager spending authority for emergency public works contract. I'll second that motion.
For the voice vote, Director Gatchel.
Don't we need a it's a resolution.
But what more than a voice vote do we need?
You need a vote.
We needed individual vote.
She's doing.
Oh, I do. Director Gatchel.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
President Sesenia.
Yes. Okay. With that, we'll move on to the presentation and hopefully share the kind of information that people need to know right now, because
great. Here, I'm going to turn on. We have Chief Province with us here to help with answer any questions as we go through the presentation. And I can't say enough about how CAL FIRE and our group of Station 15 and others have really pulled through to help. And we'll try to answer Becky's questions about who's in charge and how that's working, because that's complicated as well. But with that, let's just go through some of the photos that show what's happened up there. This was taken a drone picture straight below that puddle at the very bottom is in the deepest part of the east side of the basin. The basin extends to the left or to the west quite a ways. And this is where, when the water flows in from the west side, it crosses into that. If you look, there's a little culvert just to the left of the puddle. That's actually a raised berm that separates the east side and the west side of the basin. The west side or east side of the basin is where, obviously, where the breach occurred. And you can see the flow pattern heading down towards the neighborhood of Estate Del Oro, which is at the top or to the north. And we'll come back to this in a second or in a few minutes. This is the actual breach shortly after. I think this was taken Tuesday morning. You can see the damage to the actual basin wall. We've had a geotechnical firm out there to start the evaluation. We will be receiving a memorandum from them shortly, probably next week, with some of their findings and then recommendations on how to put this back together. Again, here you can see from a different angle, the basin is at the top of the screen here and how it's come into the houses along that fence line. You can imagine the flow coming down through the cul-de-sac and then exiting down at the bottom right-hand side of this particular cul-de-sac. It did hit the Montana Way, which is down below as well, before it hit Patriot Road and then flowed down Patriot Road. It did make a left-hand turn on the lower part of Patriot Road and continued down and fortunately then exited towards the bay to the west. It's just another shot of Vista Court from above. Again, you can see the amount of mud and debris that had been deposited the previous day. here we are. This was Tuesday, Paul. We were starting to get a little bit of rain. We got CMC hand crews out to assist with a temporary dam. You can see the sandbags there with the Visqueen over the top. We did Cal Fire and the hand crews did do some disbursement areas that in case that evening the rain started coming harder, that we would divert the flow to the west and avoid the neighborhood below. Again, this was all directed by Cal Fire, and we had the CMC hand crews, so that was a great resource that came on at the beginning of the event. Now, I wanted to get back to, this is that photo we saw before. I didn't have a photo of the entire basin, but let me explain what the temporary fix is going to be. Obviously, at some point, we're hoping maybe even next week, we might be able to start the permanent repair. But in the meantime, with the storm coming, it's been hard to understand exactly how much rain. We've been getting different reports on volume, but we did not want any more flow heading downhill towards Vista de Oro. So with that, you can see that berm area that I was talking about with the culvert. That culvert has been blocked, so no more water will flow to the east to where that water is that you currently see. And that is all now either been pumped back over to the west or has percolated in. So that side of the basin is basically empty right now. There might be a little bit still down the bottom. We're going to build up that berm with dirt and rock, and then we're going to cover it with plastic and then cover it to build up a retention wall for the upcoming storms. That's going to push the water back to the west. At the west end of the basin, there is a drain pipe that's about 10 or 15 feet high or higher. It was designed that as the whole basin filled up, if it hit where it was going to breach the wall, it would start overflowing and go down Pecho Road. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut the drain pipe down to below where the elevation of the berm. And we're installing a pump, a portable pump at the top, and we're going to start pumping water as soon as any water comes down from Cabrillo Estates into the drain, hopefully to keep up with the flow in and out. In the event that the flows are more intense and more than we can handle, it will back up against that berm, but it will overflow into the drain. And then again, like I said, continue down Pecho Road. We're going to put in, sandbags and maybe some other mechanisms to keep the water channelized down Pecho so it doesn't go off. The outlet's right across from the tank there, right below Rodman Drive and across the street. And we can't impact that side of the street, so we have to do some armoring to keep the flow down. And again, we want to keep it on Pecho all the way down to the bay. So we're going to try to be strategic about where we put sandbags and how we direct that flow down the hill. Again, that's a temporary fix until we can get the repairs. We're not sure what kind of permitting we're going to need. We're hoping that it will be minimal, if any, since it's an existing basin. I will be talking with the County Development Services Division about that. County Roads has been informed. I was on the phone with their Deputy Director, John Waddell, right before this meeting, solidifying our plan of how to discharge onto Pecho, because it will cause sheeting and could cause traffic hazard. So we're going to make sure there's signage and other things down there. So that's the strategy at this point. So a temporary fix until we're able to do the permanent fix. The permanent fix, we're hoping, will stabilize that whole entire lower side, east side of the basin. It's important to understand that this basin was built in two phases. The westerly part beyond to the west of the berm was the first phase for the initial phase of Cabrillo Estates. It's our understanding, or the best we can tell, this was back in the 1970s when all this was built. The eastern side was built later, and that it was it's deeper than the rest of the basin. I guess it was designed to anticipate more flows from as that development or subdivision was built out. So we're not sure how stable that whole side of the basin is. And so in our repair, we're gonna look to make sure that's reconstructed in a way to make it stable excuse me, going into the future. So with that, I can answer any questions.
I could, just for perspective, can you give us an idea of dimensions and the depth?
I would say that from west to east, it's probably about 200 yards. It's fairly substantial. Okay. Now, width is, again, I'm not really good at width, probably about 40 to 50 yards. And the depth, I'm not sure of. That west end is quite deep. Again, I don't have a good estimation on that. And we don't have really good plans to tell us everything.
I'm just trying to get some perspective.
Yeah, it's a very large basin. Okay.
Thank you.
What else do you have planned? Where do we go from here?
Okay.
For the neighborhood now that we understand.
Good segue. I wanted to kind of recap and have Chief Province help me here that of the actions that we've done to date and then where we're hoping to move to. Again, I can't say enough about the CAL FIRE crews. They've been active out there since Monday, but their involvement since we're into recovery will start minimizing through this week and really by the weekend will be over, essentially. We brought in front loaders and a dump truck. We've had that there since Tuesday. Of course, people that were up there on Tuesday were an incredible effort by the community. 100 plus people out there shoveling dirt. The front loaders could barely keep up with the volume of stuff that was coming out of there. That was amazing. We were able to get the porta potties established, not only for the workers, but people that on that street that were impacted if they needed to use a bathroom. I had three 40-yard roll-offs delivered. We had two up on Vista Court and one down on Montana Way. And we've been rotating as they fill. Mission Country Disposal has been very good about making sure they fit this into their schedule, which is very, very busy. As you can understand, the whole county is in need of these types of containers, but they've made sure that we've had enough and that they're servicing those regularly. And finally, we had the California Conservation Corps on site since Wednesday, and they will be there through Friday. And again, they've been a tremendous help to supplement the volunteer actions that we've had it. I'd like for Chief to jump in here and explain what CAL FIRE has done and their perspective on how recovery is going up there.
So essentially at 4:45 on Monday, we received a call for buildings flooding and some potential for some entrapment. Listening to the sheriff's office radio in my vehicle, I heard that there was multiple victims trapped. Multiple buildings flooded. We upgraded the response as we approached on transitioning from Los Osos Valley Road to Pecho. We encountered a wall of water coming down Pecho Valley with barbecues and lawn furniture and things of that nature. We split the crew, blocked off the road to try and prevent any traffic from Los Osos Valley Road continuing to come up. I broke off, tried to clear any storm drains to relieve some of the pressure of the water coming down. My initial crews got on scene. They found a lot of folks in the neighborhoods trying to evacuate, trying to get out of the way of the water, large volume of water coming into the neighborhood. After I broke off and got up there, we noticed we weren't quite sure where the water was coming from or how much more was left to come. We did notice a fence looked like it was charged with water. And so we went from, hey, asking people to leave to everybody out, including my personnel and the sheriff's personnel, just for immediate life threat. And so the sheriff's office ordered everybody to go to Ralph's as a collection point until we could determine what an evacuation center, what the extent of what was going on up there. We were able to determine there's nobody trapped in the buildings, thankfully. We didn't have any reports of injuries from anybody that was on site. So we didn't treat anybody for injuries and we did not perform any rescues. Once we determined that the situation became static and that the water wasn't going to come any more than what had already come, we started to relax the evacuation that was going on. There was a discussion of the sheriff's office only allow people that lived in that area into that area. So if you didn't need to be there, that you weren't there. They informed me that they established through the county EOC an evacuation center and at the Salvation Army in Morro Bay. And that kind of took us to that evening as there was no emergency need for the fire department. We still had our calls that we needed to run, I released the use of the urban search and rescue response that I requested and the additional engine companies that I requested. I released them back into service so they could go and handle other calls. And then I released our companies back into service so they could handle any new 911 calls that were coming in. As all the incidents in the county were occurring, we were performing multiple rescues and multiple flooding calls and all that. Obviously, we were fairly strapped for resources. So freeing up resources to take new 911 calls was pretty important, high priority. It took us to Tuesday morning. We came back out, did a little bit of damage assessment, met with Ron, and came up with a plan on getting some facilities and some equipment out there, because obviously that place, all that material needed a place to go. I think to date, we've moved, the community's moved about 160 yards of sand that came off that hill. And I think that's probably a small number. I think it's probably getting closer to 200 yards, which is an amazing amount of material to be moved by folks just pitching in and helping out. So definitely a testament to the community. I requested 3 CAL FIRE hand crews to be mission tasked. It's a little bit different when we're in this type of scenario. Typically our hand crews are designated for firefighting, but they are also trained in flood control. And so it's just a little bit different ordering process, but I was able to order 3 crews, and we had about 45 inmates from the Question Conservation Camp out of CMC come out. And the repairer, you saw the guy holding the pipe in one of the slides, that is just meant to give the water somewhere to go in a more controlled fashion. It's not meant to stop the water. And then these are known as water bars that we put in, and that's meant to kind of disperse the water so we don't have a concentrated flow going back down towards the houses. As we were working on Tuesday, there was a pretty significant downpour that occurred. And about 15 minutes after it stopped, we received a pulse of water, which then recharged that basin that had failed. And we started experiencing more flow coming in, not dangerous flow, but we were definitely getting flow. So we made it a priority to provide some diversion and control so that hole didn't get any bigger. And we weren't sure how deep that basin was, so I didn't want to get another large surge like we did on Monday night. So we completed that project on Tuesday, released the crews back so to make them available to other projects. And now currently they're working on the Aurora Grande Creek levee down in Oceano. Wednesday, the 3C's crew showed up, and like Ron said, they'll be there through Friday helping dig out. And Wednesday was the last day that I'm gonna have the Station 15 crew out there. I've had them out there helping every day, but I need to recharge them and get them rested up for the next run that's coming. We'd already run multiple rescues that day leading up to that incident. So I need to get those guys recharged and ready to go for this next rainstorm coming in starting Friday. As far as the CAL FIRE and County Fire presence, myself and Chief Rob Jenkins will still be in the area and still assisting the district and the county with whatever they need and any messaging that needs to get out there. I've got building materials up at the fire station. When we clear this meeting, I'm going to go up. We'll bring some sandwich boards out there so we can start posting more information and start helping with that flow of information and giving the community an opportunity to place to maybe post that information on one side, and then what you can expect for what you'll see out there in subsequent days. And that's the end of my report.
Supervisor Gibson, this might be a great opportunity for you to chime in.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. Nice to be with you this afternoon or this morning in difficult situations. I was out in the affected neighborhood earlier this morning, and I can only echo all the praise that's given to your emergency responders and the community for the way they have stepped up. It's just an extraordinary event there. That said, there are quite a number of impacted homes, some formerly impacted with red tags. There are yellow tags that I don't fully myself understand. And in short, there are a lot of questions in the neighborhood about the recovery and the connection with county. I can tell you that at 2 p.m. this afternoon, we will have a member of our emergency operations center on site in the neighborhood, along with the Red Cross, in order to answer questions about the details, or at least take questions and make sure that we can get good answers on the matter of the consequence of having a home red tagged or yellow tagged, how to get connected with services that will support folks who've been displaced from their home, and all anything else that's on folks' minds. There is a process. Of course, we have ready SLO.org. which has a tremendous amount of information. We are considering this in the recovery phase of this disaster. And one of the things there is for folks to report the damage that they have suffered. This is an important component of the recovery because it goes to making a case for federal reimbursement through FEMA. There has been some concern among some folks I've talked to of a deadline. There is not an impending deadline on this. And one of the things we'll talk about it too this afternoon is how to get connected with that reporting process to make sure everybody gets reported properly. I know there are a number of folks up there that have limited or no connection with computers or cell phones, and we'll just take care of everybody as we find them. And then another point that Mr. Munns raised, we'll be happy to help coordinate with you on any permitting that's necessary to get the get this repair done in the short term and the long term. Please, any of you on this board, your staff, members of the community are more than welcome to continue to contact my office for any kinds of issues you think the county can help with. So again, I'm just here here to support efforts. Appreciate the opportunity. Happy to answer any of your questions.
Great. Thank you very much.
The question, am I your supervisor? The short answer is yes. The board is going to have a more formal conversation about that. There is confusion about the redrawing of the supervisorial districts, but I am the last supervisor that was elected by vote within the community of Los Osos. I'm proud to continue to serve you. We'll get this all straightened out down the road, but for now, and especially in this urgent situation, I'm happy, and you are more than welcome to contact our office.
Good question. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. You touched on something that I was wondering about, and I don't expect an answer from you because it sounded like you know about as much as I do about red tag versus yellow tag. That's serious business, it seems. And from a layman's, you know, perspective, I couldn't. I mean, after a hurricane or a tornado, you obviously see the damage red tag. Right. But I don't know what those evaluations are like now. And
We'll get that more understood when we hit the pavement to this afternoon.
Right.
You know, folks are removing materials from their house. No one has suggested that any of those structures are in imminent danger of collapse. I defer to Chief Provence as to whether there is some indication of that. I know folks are, you know, certainly there are residences there that are not fit for human habitation in the short or the long term, like staying overnight. And the consequence of that, of course, is quite a number of displaced individuals. We're gonna work on that to see what kinds of resources. That's why I asked our EOC people to bring the Red Cross in, because they're, of course, experts in that kind of support. This is a little bit of a piece it together, build the airplane as we fly it. Given the fact that these resources are needed all over the county, there are a number of places where folks are in a bit urgent situation, but we'll make sure that resources are made available to this community as necessary.
Yeah, thank you. So far, so good. I mean, it's a bad situation, but like you said, the loaders are having trouble keeping up with the wheelbarrows. At a certain point.
That's a remarkable measure. That's a measure of that community's response that you should all be proud of.
I can speak to the red and yellow tags a little bit. Essentially, with the red tags, the building, there's some sort of safety issue with the building, whether it's electrical, gas, or in most of those red tags mention a black mold, potential for black mold is mentioned. It takes a few days for that to set in, but the ones that are red tagged, essentially those building officials probably determine that there's enough force that was delivered to the building that the electrical system may be damaged, or the gas system may be damaged in there. And so as far as turning on the utilities, it could pose an immediate threat to life. And then obviously the mold as it starts to grow could become problematic. The yellow tags are more like if things don't happen, it could progress into a red tag. They may have noticed something that was specific, probably mostly water damage and the potential for some of that black mold issue being down the road. So The red ones are meant for, we're not really supposed to be in there, but we've determined that the structural stability of them, we're not worried about folks going in there and the house falling down on them. But as far as heating up the electrical
utilities,
we're
I was hoping it was something like that, and then not foundations that are cracked and torn apart, because maybe you could deal with those other
things. And some of those things we can't see due to, you know, when they came out, they can't see due to the amount of material that was there. So they may have made the determination that it's just better to be on the safe side.
Thank you. Anything else from the board?
Yeah, I have maybe just one thing to add. I appreciate all the response. Obviously, I toured up there this afternoon or this morning. What I want to just comment on is, as we, you know, we put in these temporary systems and we're hoping that they're very temporary. But we don't have necessarily control over how short temporary is. So I want to make sure that we're looking at the whole picture when we're doing temporary repairs, and make sure that we're looking at, we're now going to divert water in a completely different spot, and that's going to have its own flow path. We saw most of that the other day, but I really want to make sure that we're working with County Roads to make sure we're turning in Pecho Valley Road into a drainage canal, basically. And we need to be aware of where we're sending that water, and just start thinking about temporary, yes, but we're going to be fighting for materials and resources with the entire county, the entire state of California at this point. And temporary could turn into a little bit longer than any of us wants. And I just want us to kind of let that sink in a little bit. And as we're doing these things, think a little more permanency than just getting through this weekend, maybe. I know that's what's immediately in front of us, but I'm just going back a little bit and thinking of down the line in 7 days when we reconvene potentially to authorize additional spending. But that's what I saw. And that was part of what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I think just to add, I agree with that. And then the diversion of water, do we have a sense of any other communities that might be at risk when we're moving some of this diversion, and letting people know, or kind of thinking about that over the weekend, and who's keeping watch, I guess, over the weekend, and the plan for that when this next one comes through?
I can speak to that. And I do appreciate what Matt said regarding consequences, unintended consequences of downstream. The wall of water that came through was I can't even estimate the quantity or the volume, but it was definitely, it gave us an indication of the path. Mm-hmm. But as I was discussing with Matt before the meeting, there are potential places with the constant flow that might be unintendedly impacted. So we'll look at, you know, armoring those with sandbags. So I agree there. As far as monitoring, I've got to get with my staff this afternoon, because all of this is going to take continual monitoring. How we're going to do that right now with who we have, that's how we're still to be determined, but that will definitely be including myself on watch over the weekend.
Is that something where we potentially could partner with, is there any resources at the county or anything else that could help us get through that? Because, you know, we have a limited staff and we can't keep people working continuously for a week on end or something like that.
We'd be happy to investigate that. County workers are designated as disaster service workers, and, you know, we deployed them on a variety of things. I would think the proper channel would be for communication to our emergency operations center if your district needs support. And I certainly will advocate on your behalf for any resources that you think you need.
I appreciate that. I've had a couple of conversations with John Wydell, Deputy Director for Roads and, you know, Transportation. And he's indicated, because of the how large this event has been, they're pretty stretched. But that said, any assistance, you know, we have five crew members, and we'll see how we can stretch them out.
five crew members and five board members. So.
Yeah, well, that makes 10. So there you go. And plus me, I'm pretty free this weekend. You know, the other thing you might be interested in, I'd be happy to, you know, you have your own liaison with your other special districts. You have, Cayuga San and Cambria, I know, has a particular mutual aid relationship with San Simeon CSD. So, again, any help that I can provide in communication on that would be fine.
Appreciate that.
I had a question.
Go ahead.
So if people are coming out there to help, just volunteers, one of the things that you said, who do they go out there? They just go out there? And I mean, is there somebody they should contact when they come out there, or how? I don't want to say how does the power tower work, but you know, who do they talk to?
That's been the probably more difficult. I can say with Battalion Chief Jenkins and Paul out there, they've been directing people with the California Conservation Corps out there. Mike Anderson has been doing a good job on helping, you know, direct his workers, which then in turn helps direct some of the workers. We haven't had a central command. The district doesn't have that type of resource. It's basically me, and I've been dealing with the basin issues mostly and organizing to get the skip or the front loader and the dump truck and trying to keep that part, the roll offs and all that going. So we haven't had the resource, internally for us to be out there.
So if somebody comes out there to help, they just basically
you'd
blend
it's
into
pretty
wherever.
Easy to fit in.
I just wanted to know, like I said, if there was a hierarchy of who was doing
that what. Kind of works its way out between the people involved in that particular yard that you're working on. It just has a way of taking care of itself. Take your gloves and a shovel for certain, and a wheelbarrow if you have one.
Yeah. I just wanted for the public. I just wanted to make sure for the public's information that they
do. And that may change as we get more used to this.
We'll have somebody wearing a King's hat. Is that it?
Like I said, it just kind of happens naturally as you form a team working on a particular yard.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure the public was aware of whether there was a hierarchy or not.
Yeah, you won't need to sign in.
And one thing I'll say is that I'm going to make sure that the engine still circulates through the neighborhood, even though I kind of want them resting, I'm still have to circulate. So if you see the engine, you have a question or you have some sort of concern. If you see my vehicle or Rob's vehicle, he's got the SUV and I have a pickup truck. We can be vessels to relay information to the CSD, to kick it up to the EOC, to make those orders and get stuff. Still a challenge to get the orders up there because we're competing with everybody for stuff. So it's a challenge, and but if you see us, we can help kind of kick that up the chain, and sometimes we can use our horsepower to put a little extra emphasis on it, getting the public information out. That's been one drum that we've been banging pretty hard to get that information out to you folks, so that you know what the next step is, because it's like, okay, we got through the initial, oh my God, this just happened. Now we got to figure out what we're going to do for the next 6 months and what we're going to do for the next year. So trying to get that information out to you folks, like I said, we're going to get some sandwich boards out there to try and get a little bit more information. So it's there in front of you. But if you have questions, we'll try to answer them as best we can. We may not have the answers, but we'll try and kick it up the chain for you. So just know the engine company, as you see, the big red engine out there, they probably won't have a great answer for you. And they're probably going to have to ask somebody. So just be patient with that as far as from the fire department side of things.
So as well as these sandwich boards, can we have this information relayed to Laura and get on the CSD website? Would that make sense?
We are coordinating that.
Okay, good.
We're going to turn.
We'll get there, Becky.
Okay.
Okay, it's board discussion right now. Okay, if that's
another question.
Yes.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, we need to do what we can to save lives and homes and make things safe. But a little bit, I'm curious, ballpark, what do we think we're going to be spending? I know we're going over the limit, but how much over the limit?
That's a tough one right now. I can estimate, ballpark estimate, that the repair to that hole will probably be about $1 million.
Oh. All right.
And that doesn't count the temporary repair, which will probably run between $100,000 and $150,000.
Right. And then we'd be hoping to get reimbursement from whomever.
We certainly hope so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And that's where the county is really going to be instrumental in helping there.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Yes, please do.
I do know that both congressional representatives, Congressman Panetta, Congressman Carbajal, are both interested in touring the area. Of course, they're choosing Saturday because they like to see the rain in progress, I get. But I'm sure they will be strong advocates to make sure we get connected with FEMA reimbursement. The county as a whole, as part of the disaster declaration, is working toward that. It's got a certain level of bureaucracy, but again, that's your elected officials are all advocating in the same direction on that.
Does that get parsed out, like, you're as the county as a whole, and you need to get to a point where FEMA can kick in, is how I'm understanding that. Is that like every agency needs to prove that individually, or is it just the geographical area?
I shouldn't speak with a definitive voice on that right now, but my recollection from previous storm damage is that, first of all, we need a county-wide assessment of all jurisdictions within the county's damage. There's a separate matter, I do believe it's separate, of private property damage that has to reach a certain level before other FEMA response programs kick in. Again, I defer to experts on that to know it. But once we do get a countywide assessment, since we are under a countywide declaration of that state and federal level disaster, and we did get added to the federal disaster declaration, we should have a line, and all jurisdictions should have a line to get their impacts mitigated.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're all going to kind of become experts about this. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your.
Oh, well, I have a question. Wait, when you say mitigated, is that? Well,
reimbursed is what I meant.
Would we be fully reimbursed or reimbursed at a certain percentage? Or I don't know how it works either.
Yeah, that's a detail to be worked out.
Okay.
Yeah. Rainy day reserves on hand right now, and we'll look into the rest. But we're going to learn a lot.
And sometimes just to set expectations properly, sometimes that takes some time to get to happen, and that's just the nature of the beast here.
So when you say sometime, like ballpark, is that months, years?
Some instances it's been years, but it should be faster than that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Bruce.
Okay, if we have no more questions from the board, then we'll go to public comment and questions. And the way we'd like to work this is everyone come up, give us your questions and comments. We won't necessarily answer them right then. We're going to go through everyone who has questions, and then we'll answer at the end as best we can. And
if you'd like to make a public comment and you are online, please raise your hand or dial *9 if you're on your phone. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium and we will do members in the boardroom first.
Go ahead.
Hi, Julie Quillen. I'm at 238 Vista Court. Sorry, I have notes because I'm really tight and I live in my driveway right now. Okay. It is my understanding we are already allowed occupancy unless it's red tagged, because we were let back in after the evacuation. And we have not been told not to go in our house. I just think we could use some confirmation, and I don't know who to get that from, that it is safe to go into our homes. There's a lot of different information we're getting from people who are showing up with business cards, doing assessments, scaring people with mold. Everybody's wearing different levels of PPP. I think that might be one of the biggest needs we have right now. It's just knowing, like, are we safe? Do I need a mask? Like, what, do I need? And then on kind of another note, do you know how long the dumpsters, we could expect those to be there? Because everybody's kind of in varying stages of trying to deal with their stuff. And if people are kind of panicked and trying to rush to just get rid of things while that's available. So those would be kind of the two questions I had for today. And I'd like to thank the community and everybody at the show. And once again, sorry, very tired. So thanks.
Thank you. Anything else?
Hi, my name is Quinn Brady. I'm a community member, do not live in the affected neighborhood, but I run along with Annette Sheely the Support Los Osos page, which has been a huge driver in getting volunteers out to the site. So I just want to touch on a couple things. One was the question about volunteers arriving. I think it's been a really beautiful testament to the community care that exists in Los Osos, that people are doing it just completely grassroots, showing up and jumping in. And there really isn't a leader or a specific point of contact out there. We're all working together, taking turns, helping drive people out there. And so we continue to encourage the community to come and support in that way. I think something that would be really helpful would be having somebody out there that can be serve as that type of point of contact. Both Annette and myself and others have been out there trying to relieve that burden from the homeowners being the ones coordinating. I've got kids and a job, and you know, it could be appropriate for you as a CSD to consider having someone out there as a point of contact, even if it's just for a few hours a day, helping assess what the needs are. Cal Fire has been amazing and can't say enough about how awesome their presence has been. And we also recognize their need to go address other emerging issues in our community. So I would say if there's a daily type of information, I think the sandwich board will help, but also some type of like boots on the ground presence, somebody that can help relay information to homeowners daily and also coordinate a little bit with the volunteers. That said, like, major thanks to just the grassroots support of our community members and people bringing food and supplies, and Botanica Nova, like businesses coming and bringing equipment. It's been amazing. I would encourage you to consider, I know that there are our pathways and that there's also hurdles of what it looks like to provide housing vouchers. So many of our neighbors are hosting people that have been displaced, but that is a temporary fix and people are going to need longer term solutions. So just encourage the CSD to talk with the county. Obviously we don't have FEMA funding right now, but what is possible? That's something I'd love to see explored. Also, I just want to remind all of us, because we start to get into emergency mode and we talk about people as homeowners or these houses, and these are homes and these are humans that are affected and they're going through every belonging and putting almost every belonging in garbage cans. And I don't know what that feels like. I don't think any of us can, but they do. And so I want to continue to like turn to these humans who are deeply affected and make sure that we're asking them what they need. And I think our Los Osos community can do a lot. I know that you're only a few people and you can't do everything, but if we can maximize together, I think we'll really be able to support the needs that they have. So thanks for gathering. Thanks for the support you are giving. And I hope that we can continue really providing information. As was mentioned, misinformation spreads fast, so clear information is helpful. Thank you.
Becky McFarland, and I echo what Quinn said. And when I stood up and mentioned, we have friends and neighbors that live in this neighborhood. As Vicki was trying to say, they need things just like brooms. I was shocked. There were no brooms. We need somebody that can do that. Walk house to house with a list, write it down, assess. I mean, just the simple stuff like that. So it's there. Someone I haven't seen in 30 years showed up. I used to work with her. She just moved here and she showed up with a pile of towels and asking me where to go. So somebody needs to be able to say, this house needs towels. This house needs plastic containers. This house needs packing stuff. You know, Phyllis, the little old lady putting, you know, taking wet boxes of like heirloom glassware and going through it and nothing to wash it in. That's what people need. Vicki, is there anything else? People are showing up with dehumidifiers. I brought some big fans. That stuff is needed now. And who's going to do that? They need counseling. I mean, some of these people are so, I mean, they're like, stop, don't take the, you know, because it's not coordinated. So please find somebody to do that and be out there to hug these people because it's tough.
I'm at 230 Vista Court at the end of the street where everything ended up. I'm yellow tagged. I'm lucky I can get in. My neighbor is not. She's red tagged. She lost everything. Just like she said, I don't know what to save. I don't know what to get rid of. I've got people helping me. And as they come through, they're kind of like, get rid of it, get rid of it. And you're going, wait a minute, can't that be saved and salvaged? She's right. We need somebody that can coordinate. We've been buying boxes. We probably bought 200 boxes already. Tape, geez, bubble wrap, garbage cans. We're buying it all ourselves. And I'm wondering, is this going to come back on us? Because I don't know where my budget's going to go on something like this. Is this going to come soon that we'll hear from FEMA or whoever it's going to be? Somebody needs to make a step here. I'm lucky I have a place that I'm staying and I'm okay. I'm using one half of that house for my storage so I don't have to pay for storage. Somebody needs to figure out how this works for us. Like I said, I'm at that very end of the street where it all ended up in a drainage, which we've been worried about for 3 years now because it's like this big. County said, it's fine. And as we watched the water, as I'm sitting on my couch coming in, I thought, well, that drain didn't work. So figure out how to do this and help us. We need it.
Mark Zimmer, general manager for Golden State, just my deepest sympathy for the community and highest regard for the district and emergency responders on this situation. Just want to offer our resources. I know you mentioned you have a staff of five. We have five local, but we have over 500 in Golden State. And so if there's something that we can provide, I know Ron's been in contact with our operations superintendent here locally. Access through our site, anything like that that you need from us, don't hesitate to ask because we're here for the community too. So moving forward, like you mentioned, we've seen several of these across the state and some of our other areas. The cleanup and the process is long, and you know that long-term thinking is where you know this has to go eventually. So just want to offer our resources and anything we can help during this process.
Yeah, if I could interject, I do want to thank Golden State. They've been extremely helpful, especially accessing our basin because they have adjoining property that has access. So appreciate that and the offer.
And just one last comment. We did inspect the water system, so there's no compromise to the water system there. That was in question originally. So that's all been secured and inspected. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Hi, Manya Sheboyan, 232 Vista Court, at the end of the street. She got the water, I got the mud. About a foot and a half throughout the house, red tagged, devastating. Our fireplace and our chairs were halfway down the street. While we drove by and I'm like, oh, that's one of our chairs. Oh, that's one of our chairs. So actually my brother's house, he's disabled. Bought it 6 months ago. I'm his realtor, and it's a total disaster. Just so you guys can put a face with this, it's horrible. And those poor people, they live there. My brother doesn't live there. He was moving in, but whatever he moved in is all gone. We've dumped it in the dumpsters. You could do nothing with it, with water damage and mud and everything. So whatever help you can give. But I do want to say, I live in San Luis Obispo. This community is amazing. The people that have come out there and just said, I got a shovel. Where do you want me? And you just, can you dig this out for me? Sure. I've left 2 days at 4:30 and there's still people digging in my yard, trying to get the sand and dirt out. So amazing community. Thank you, Cal Fire. You guys have been a huge help lifting and doing that kind of stuff. But these people need help. We all do. But I'm the red tag. You just got water. I got the mud. But yeah, I went through right through the thing that I ended up with all of Phyllis's pictures and her mementos and her husband's degree from college in our master bedroom in our house. We saw it and we're like, oh, this is, that last name is up the street. So we took her all her pictures and she just broke down and cried.
And you're gonna make me do it again.
There she is. There she is. But they all ended up in our house and in our backyard because we were the end of the line. And it broke through our fence and it blew out our doors. And so, yeah. So please, please, they need the help there. If whatever you guys can do, it's devastating. I think I saw you out there yesterday.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
My back knows it.
Is this, hey, my calves, I have to push it up a deal. It's bad, but whatever you guys can do. I mean, it's restored my hope in humanity with the people that have come out. So yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have only one ask. I was the epicenter. Welcome back. They're through. I have been told through murmurings that there are going to be fun houses tonight with kids that might be in there to do damage. Is there any possibility that there would be a police presence? Because
I'm right on Los Osos Valley. My fence is gone.
Yep.
Hers is gone. Our houses are, you know, and when we leave at the end of the day, is anybody just kind of keeping an eye on the neighborhood? Because you can't get everything out in one day.
My garage doors are gone.
Yeah.
I'm open to the world.
Yeah, same here.
The sheriff has been coming around a couple times a night because I'm sleeping in my driveway, so I peek out. So they have been coming around a couple times a night. So we felt pretty good about that.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I mean, it's not full time, but yeah, there's been
talking. Good, good.
Fun houses.
Yeah. Is there a social media outlet or anything that's been on that we can refer the sheriff's office to? Is that like some word of mouth of how that's getting around so we can maybe have them invite?
Challenge your mask.
Me too.
Someone mentioned that it happened or that they thought it would happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone has any knowledge of did it really happen or is that just a concern?
It's just the misinformation that starts to swirl with worry and anxiety.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it didn't originally have certain occur, but
I'll forward it up through our side to the sheriff's office.
So that way they can throw away all the things I would sit down and say
happening in my house.
Yes, Richard, do you have something for us?
Richard Margetson, president of People Helping People here in Los Osos. Phyllis is one of our members. She works at the food giveaway on Wednesday mornings. She's rung the bell for me for I can't imagine how long. I just want to offer People Helping People resources. Ron has my numbers. If anybody needs a grocery bill paid for, staples, anything, we have substantial resources, and this is an opportunity for us to live up to our name, People Helping People. So Ron knows how to get a hold of me, but seriously, we want to help. We just don't know how yet. So let us know, because we will be there.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, so many things you don't think about, just the little things that you don't have anymore.
Tax time is coming up and all my stuff is soaked. Who do we call? What do we say to them? Do we tell them we're in a flood and we have zero paperwork to show you? I'm thinking about this coming, you know, what's going to happen? That's a big one because that's going to hit
April. I would guess that an extension might be pretty easy to come by this year, but you certainly need to talk to your tax man. I don't think anyone here is going to offer. Do we have a tax man?
It sounds like at 2:00 there's going to be a meeting with folks who have actual experience in disaster and disaster relief. It sounds like to me that would be a very important meeting to be a part of. Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew.
I'm not sure exactly. Yeah. Oh, yes. And,
Yeah, I would advise anybody with any question, we'll get the list of questions. We'll get answers to them. Yeah. I know there are nonprofit organizations that provide tax advice. So we'll get it sorted out. Again, OES, some of those get detailed to my office. We're happy. When I say we are happy, I mean Blake Fixler is happy to sort through these things and get answers. So that's just what we do.
Yeah, I'm not trying to divert that. It's just, we don't know the answer to that, but there are professionals who do. And
would I call the county and ask them, or would they know?
You can certainly call my office.
Okay, thank you.
And then
Red Cross is a really good resource for disaster recovery. I'm not sure if one of the reps is going to be at this meeting at 2 o'clock, but
we understand that.
Red Cross is they're very experienced in disaster recovery, and in my experience, at least on the fire side of things. They're usually have a presence and they're able to provide advice and what to do, what the next steps are. And that's a very valid question that, you know, we definitely experience when we have catastrophic wildfire or something like that. So,
yeah.
And we have Lisa on finance committee. She'd be the first person I would ask. I mean, and she's local.
My name is Sue Halverson. I'm a friend of Phyllis. I've heard a lot of discussion about the reservoir, the basin, and fixing that, but I haven't heard anything in regards to the homeowners and their reimbursement. I don't even know what Phyllis should be doing. She's got drywall in her house that's soaking wet, and I've lived through toxic mold. I've had the opportunity to throw away all of my possessions. I don't know what she should be doing. If, to my knowledge, that drywall needs to come off now. Everything needs to be pulled out, because the longer she waits, the more mold is going to form. And I am really concerned for my community and how they're going to be reimbursed. And some of them may have resources to start this process on their own. Should they? Is it safe for them to do? I mean, should Phyllis start investing in her home, or is there going to be a torrent of rain and mud coming down? Should she even start? Is her house safe to even start? What should she be doing? I mean,
what do we do?
Right. And it, like I said, it's huge, because I lived through toxic mold. And in my opinion, that drywall needs to come off yesterday. And it's still there. And that means it's still wicking moisture into the house. And that means black mold is forming every single freaking day, and rain's coming again, and more that's going to form. And that's my concern.
Bruce, that's a question that they should bring to your 2 o'clock meeting.
Absolutely. Right. This is all part of the recovery process, and the timing of this and the understanding of that are things that others would have some advice, I suppose, for. But you bring up excellent questions, and I think we're just going to need to work through and get those answers as we learn more and as we see what the future brings in terms of more rainfall and all the variables that affect this. So.
Are we ready for online public comment?
Yes.
Excuse me. I have a doctor's appointment that you all knew about ahead of time, so I have to leave. I'm sorry. So I can't change this appointment. It was made months ago. So.
Thank you for being here for the votes.
Thank you.
Yes, all right, online public comment.
I will be listening.
I don't have your name. Your last two numbers are 6-2. You just have to unmute yourself.
Good afternoon.
It looks like you're muted. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Julie Tacker. And first I want to say I'm heartbroken for the whole community, because this is such a tragedy. I do have a question I didn't hear asked by others. The responsibility of the Los Osos CSD, where I know you're in reaction mode, you're doing all you can to repair and recover and do all the things that are certainly necessary. but where is the district's responsibility and its insurance company, and what are they saying? And, you know, does the district have the coverage to help the residents and rebuild? We see this looks like an infrastructure failure, and I'm very interested in how that affects the district. And so that is the reason for my question. And do the homeowners have recourse through the district's insurance? That is my question. I hope it may be too soon to answer, but I appreciate everything everyone's done, and my heart goes out to everyone involved, and certainly everyone that has been helping. Thank you.
There were two written in questions. The first one was asking if the 2 p.m. meeting that will be occurring, if it's going to be recorded. And the second is from Ray, who says, perhaps providing a patrol vehicle for an organized rotation of a citizens on patrol effort could help avert vandalism. And there is no further public comment online.
Thank you, Laura. I have no idea about the 2 p.m. meeting being recorded. I kind of doubt it. I think that there's going to be information flying so fast that you're just going to have to stay tuned at all times.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. No, it's not planned to be recorded. We're gonna take questions. We're gonna offer information.
Yeah.
There's a continuing channel of communication to readyslow.org under recover or through my office, and we're happy to continue providing a communication link.
Thanks. Well, there were a lot of questions. I'm sure you wrote some of the things down.
I did.
Like the roll-offs.
The roll-offs. Yeah. There's some of these that are definitely outside our purview, like, you know, entering the houses, but it sounds like we'll get answers to those questions. But the roll-off availability, that's been under the district. District's been paying for those roll-offs and will continue. I have to say, we don't have unlimited amount of resources, monetary resources, so we'll keep those going as long as we can. Leadership on site, that's something we're going to have to work out because that has been the thing we have recognized between, you know, CAL FIRE, myself, and we've been in conversation with Slo County OES, and we're very limited in the number of people we have and what we can do just to run the district on the number of employees we have. CAL FIRE has their own responsibilities. So we've been kind of looking to the county OES to help us in that regard, but we haven't come to any resolution of how that will work out. But I know it's important. I know I've been up there every day since, you know, Monday night, and it is amazing how it's been organized by volunteers, but I can see as this goes on, we'll have to have more organized by professionals to help the volunteers. Kind of to Julie's question, which was another one that came up for reimbursement for expenses. We have been in contact with the district insurance provider. We were going to start posting claim forms today online, but I know some people don't have access to online. We can actually give those forms to you before you leave today. It's very important that we have someone that can help you in terms of, we just need to make sure it's a very simple form, but it's very important that you get a receipt that you've brought it back, or somehow, you know, you could come into the district office to drop it back off. We'll scan it for you to give you a copy. So we have some procedures on how to go through that. And then once the district has turned it over to our insurance, they'll send out investigators for each form. And it's really up to them. We're kind of, the district isn't then making the decisions. The insurance company is on how it's adjusted. So we'll be involved, but it's definitely a process we'll have to go through. So those forms are going to be available as of today. I don't think we have them up on the website. We were trying to do that this morning, but we were very busy trying to organize this meeting.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
With regard to my piece of real estate, I lost all of my appliances. I don't know, was I supposed to be taking pictures of what I owned in order to express to the person who's going to be seeing this form?
I don't know. You know, that's, again...
How do I prove it then?
Well, appliances would be a basic part of a home. I think it's going to be more when they come out, they're going to look at your house and say, this was that functional house.
It certainly was.
And so,
yeah. I would recommend keeping a running list if you have. I would just recommend doing the best you can to keep a running list. Hopefully Red Cross will have a little bit of advice on that, because every instance is a little bit different. But hopefully they'll have some advice on what that looks like. But for any purposes, whether it's your insurance or the district's insurance or anybody else's insurance, keep a running list, especially if you're getting rid of, if you're having to throw stuff out, try to keep as best you can, you know, a running list of what you're having to throw out.
We shouldn't come to the meeting. My friends are having a speaking
As far as police presence, it sounds like the sheriffs are coming through, but you're going to follow up on that, Paul.
I'll follow up through my channels to the EOC to let them know that there's been some reports that there's potentially some parties that are being planned for the neighborhood that are not by the residents, and probably not the hours that the residents want to be participating. So,
and as far as Richard's offer for people helping people, please contact me through the office. Any way you can come down and call or email or whatever, and we'll make sure we hook you up with people helping people. The CSD has responsibility for it.
So everyone's been told we don't cover flood or water. So what if your people say that, your insurance company?
I don't want to be vague on this, but I don't know. You know, I've never been through a natural disaster. I've had to try to run the operation. We're trying to figure this out as we go. I think you've heard that from several different people. I don't have an answer to that type of question. Typically, if let's say the scenario was our insurance company says, no, it's not flood and water, this was a natural disaster, typically homeowners insurance then kicks in. This is just what I've been told. Well, at this point they are, because of the nature of how they're defining it. So it's how the insurance companies define the disaster is what is going to ultimately determine how the insurance company pays.
Well, right now we have claim forms available.
Yes.
And that's the first step in this process.
Right.
And we don't know the answer to that question.
I understand that, but all these people are not rich. How are they supposed to survive now? Do you take your floor up? Do you take your baseboards up? Do you take the wall down? Who pays for that? How does it get done? Nobody knows what to do. And who do you ask?
And the quicker you do it, the quicker the mold stops.
Well, I'm hoping we're not promoting this 2 o'clock meeting too highly, but these are the people that deal with disasters, you know. Again, the CSD is not a disaster relief agency. We're trying to best manage what we know how to do. And so that's what we're trying to provide.
You know, I understand what you're saying. I totally get it, but it's not their fault either. Most of the people didn't even know that was up there.
I had 23 years living there. I had no idea there was a levee up there. No warning was ever given to us. We had no warning. And then we had 5 minutes to get your stuff together and get out. I don't know if you have any idea what that was like, but
offer this, from when we have houses that burn down and the advice that we give that homeowner. And obviously the flooding is a little bit different in how that's handled through insurance companies versus fire. But on the fire side of things, our first piece of advice that we give the homeowners is call your agent. And I understand that they're telling you, you know, we're not doing this, but that's the first piece of advice that we give us. Call your agent and let them say, you know, let them say no. And they typically will in a flood scenario. And We tell people to do that before they call a servicing company or any sort of contractor to come out, just because sometimes if you call a certain company out and have them start doing work and they're not on your insurance vendors list, sometimes the insurance won't reimburse you for that. So that's the advice that we give on the fire side of things. Obviously they've told you no. So, you know, as far as getting a service provider out there, you may potentially have to deal with that on your own temporarily until your claim forms can be addressed. So, getting the claim, the district claim form filled out would be a second step, if you will, after talking to your insurance company.
And if I can emphasize, the filling out the slow ready, the county form is super important as well, because we're trying to establish FEMA assistance. So that's the other one that's key. And it's a super simple form. It's just really name, address, estimated cost of damage. Well, if your house is worth something, just put a number, what you think. It's not exact. Yes, before you leave, we'll get some forms out here for you. It is going to be online. We'll have it posted this afternoon. And that's on lososocsd.org, all one word.
Okay, and then we have the 2 o'clock meeting on site. And hopefully there'll be more answers supplied then. And until then, let's just keep showing up and helping out in any way you can. But that it's until you walk that neighborhood, it's hard to imagine. It's not going to be a fun house.
We do have one formality that we have to take public comments for things not on the agenda.
Thank you for reminding me of that. Do we have
I have one more question. Do we have a list of things that people need, like boxes? Is there any?
That's one of the things that came out of this meeting today, I think, is that we need to try and do that. Maybe door to door, just what is the immediate need list, and see if people helping people, Los Osos Cares, anybody's got those kind of resources that.
Well, a lot of people have boxes sitting around this time of year, you know, like.
Sure.
So, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, one quick question too for Paul. Did we activate CERT or be able to activate maybe some CERTs to help us?
That was the conversation I was going to have with Ron after the meeting.
Okay.
Yep, that popped into my mind when we were sitting here.
Yep. Okay, good.
If there is any traffic management, we could get someone maybe, because it's a zoo of like the bulldozers and the people at residents versus volunteers, and it's kind of a mess. So if anybody knows that chain, that would be super helpful.
Yeah, it is chaotic. Very, very heads up. I got to admit, the drivers of the heavy equipment are pretty darn talented. They are moving through there. It's amazing how quick that sand, and where do you put that much sand?
So at our feral lot.
Oh.
Anyone need sand?
Free sand, yes, yes.
I tried to sell it to the H11.
Thanks. there's obvious things that that I think could be identified without even going door to door.
But also, I was going to say, if you have a cell phone, take pictures of the things that are being thrown away that are worth something.
Absolutely.
If
photo document.
Even if I need to do it, I stand on your driveway and take pictures before it goes in the trash can. That's something even a kid can do for you. Right.
Yeah.
Also, could on the Los Osos sign, it be put up there that shovelers are needed up at Vista Court? Because
the community center sign?
The one at Van Meerden's.
Oh.
And is that Rotary?
Rotary. Yeah, Rotary.
Okay.
That might help you.
Good suggestions.
Mr. President, I have to go.
Sure. Thank you.
I have to get
okay, to. Thank you. We've still got a quorum. Okay, so let's get to public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium.
Becky McFarland again. You know, I guess it was on Tuesday when the rain was really coming down. Pine Street has been really impacted too. And I was showing Chief yesterday, there's a man whose house continually gets flooded from the county basin that's here on Midtown and then goes through that private property. But he had water in his house and in his garage. People were up and down Pine Street trying to do sandbags to keep the water out. And it's just like people were showing up and helping, but we need a way again for people to know what's happening. I mean, I'm trying to find out just if Highway 41 was open for my husband, and it took me going through I don't know how many sites to find that. So we need a little better coordination. And that's not just the CSD. I mean, that's the entire county. Yeah. There's people that they don't even know to call and say, my house is flooded. Who's going to help me with this? And I haven't been down on Ash again to see that. But that Midtown site and the water that goes through there is incredible. And then all the way down and, you know, flowing into the bay. I used to live on Ramona there and we'd see it, you know, come out. So anyway, more help is needed. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
There's none online.
Okay, thank you, Laura. And none here in the office. That's another location. That's the second time I've seen that spot flood in the 30-some years I've been here. So it doesn't happen very often. And it sure surprised me the first time because I would think it would just come down Broderson to the bay. But no, it heads across to Ash and hits Pine. Yeah, this was pretty unusual to this degree. So with that, we're going to adjourn this meeting and 2:00, hopefully some other questions can be answered. And thank you all.
If you'd like to hang out for a minute to get claim forms, we're going to bring them out here in just a second.